Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we are chatting with Louis Colombarini of Cosmic Clay Studios. And Louis specializes in unique, one-of-a-kind, primitive fire decorative ceramics. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing rather well. I just wanted to make it a point early on that I do collaborate with my wife, Christine, for over 40 years in Cosmic Clay Studio business.
Yes, and I met you at the Off the Beaten Path tour and out in Smithville. Actually, where's your studio located?
Doweltown, just outside of Smithville.
Okay, because that was a little bit of a drive for me. I went to a couple different studios. And quite a lovely drive out to your house.
It is a nice area. The whole area is.
Yeah, so I remember you had your studio and then you had your house behind it. And I remember you had a tree out there with bird feeders because I'm a bird person.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember all the birds and it was lovely. It looked like a really nice place to create. So just describe to me a little bit about what you do, because your ceramics, I had never seen anything quite like it. So just describe to me your ceramics.
Well, that's something we've always managed to do after 40 years in this business, was to find our own way with our creative ceramics, and rather than seeing what other people are doing and copy that. It takes a little bit more effort and get the creative juices flowing, and that's something that's made this current work unique to anything you've seen before. The work is primitive fired either in sawdust or straw after it's been fired once to make it hard enough, because these primitive firings, if you don't fire the piece prior to the primitive firing, you can get a lot of cracking. So what we're doing is make the piece. We fire an electric kiln to about 1800 degrees, because our primitive firings in either the sawdust or the straw is only burning roughly at 1000 degrees, not enough to make it hard enough and more durable. Even though they're decorative pieces, they would be too fragile.
Yeah, so how did you come up with this type of firing technique?
Through experimentation, my wife Christine started fooling with her primitive firings in straw a few years prior to me getting into my primitive sawdust fired pieces. And it was through experimentation with both of us that we felt like we came up with something we hadn't seen or heard about, and pursued it. Nothing really is that easy. It took us quite a while to tweak it and work with it and get it to a point where we really felt like we were happy with the results. My firings are done in sawdust in a chamber, a metal chamber. Her straw firings are done in an open pit situation. Her straw firings get smoky areas, sepia tones, and masked areas where the pieces are up against the straw, creating various straw patterns, where my pieces are, and she's not applying any type of a pigment or glaze. We're not using glazes whatsoever. My pieces appear to be copper only because I'm applying the copper pigment to the surface before I bury them in sawdust. Light the sawdust. Now remember, they're in a metal chamber. Light the sawdust. Put a lid on it. Actually, that chamber is an old refrigerator that I find to work real well. Once it's burning, I put the lid on it, and it slowly, over the course of the day, burns and smolders, creating these unique fire clouds and colorful patinas on the surface.
It looks abstract. It looks like abstract art on your ceramics. That's what
on
it looks
the surfaces.
Like. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the interesting thing about the firings. They can never be the same twice.
Yeah.
I don't think ever, ever, ever in a million years they could. If they did, I would be very surprised. And that's what makes them interesting. Every time I open up my sawdust firing and start digging in through the burned sawdust, it's like Christmas. You know, you just never know what you're going to get. And it's always a surprise, more so than not.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's really exciting. Just to not know what's going to come out, and you're creating it, and then it just, and they're lovely.
Thank you so much.
They're just so beautiful and so unique. Coming up, we'll continue our discussion as The Scene continues here on Light Rock 95.9. Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we are chatting with Jack Labe, who is a abstract expressionistic artist. Did I get it all? And so, Jack, you focus on acrylics, correct?
I focus primarily on acrylics and watercolor. I like both of them. Right. I switch back and forth regularly.
Okay. And what's your subject matter?
My subject matter varies from complete non-objective art, which is completely abstract, to recognizable objects like hearts and pears and pineapples. I've done a few of those recently.
So what are some of your favorite tools to use when you're creating?
That varies from time to time. I really love to experiment with different materials. When I was in graduate school, my mother was a medical librarian's technician at a hospital in Waterloo, Iowa. And she could see that I like to play around with different materials, and she wanted to know if I could use any x-rays in my work. At that time, they had, you know, large x-rays of people's bones and this and that. And I said, sure, bring a whole bunch of them home. And so I took those to the jewelry room, and on a large piece of plywood, I stapled some, like one end down, and in the jewelry room, they had a torch in which I could get a flame that was about 2 feet long or so, and I would heat up those x-rays, and the x-rays would begin to curl around and melt together, and so there were these beautiful blacks and grays and blue greens and blacks, and sometimes you could see a little bit of some bones or something. And so this was these would curl all up and do exciting shapes. And then I would take linoleum paste and add that to it. So then I had kind of yellow ochre colors against the blues. And so that was very, very interesting. Now, what I do today is I experiment with a lot of different kinds of techniques with primarily acrylics and adding collage, sometimes netting that I might get from after Halloween, where all of this little cloth netting is available, or Tyvek paper is a marvelous material. And so a person can actually take a heat gun and warm up or heat up Tyvek paper, and it begins to curl around and do very interesting things in a somewhat similar way as those x-rays did that I did years and years ago.
Isn't that interesting?
It's wonderful. Yeah. In fact, you can make beautiful banners out of Tyvek paper, and that's just a building material that you can buy at any building center.
Nice. Yeah. I like that. It's very different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you brand your style of art?
That's a good question. I think it looks, to me, much of the work looks very expressionistic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so interested in illustration.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit stiff to me, even though there's illustrators that I love.
You're very loose.
Just to say
incredibly loose.
I love to splash the paint on. And in fact, I had to get a few old rugs to put on my studio floor because I was getting
You're
so much paint
mess.
On it. But with the watercolors, it's a little bit more organized. Sometimes I will start off with a watercolor with a little sketch. A little value sketch, lights and darks. And this gives me a little bit more of a direction as to where I'm going to go. And Betty and I took a workshop not so long ago with a man by the name of Frank Francesi. And he had a wonderful idea of using different kinds of pens, felt tip markers that were grays. So you can get a light gray, a mid-tone gray, and a very dark gray or a black. And so you can easily come up with three values, and you can sketch that in all so quickly. You don't have to spend a great deal of time. And if you do, let's say, several sketches of a landscape or figures or pears or sunflowers, whatever you're going to do, it can all happen all so quickly, and then you can get on with the painting. And if you just refer to your sketch to remind you where the values go, mm-hmm. I'm much farther ahead. And I don't have to go back and correct.
Well, it was a pleasure speaking with you today, Jack. How can people find your work outside of the Off the Beaten Path tour?
I'm on Facebook, Jack Loeb. It's spelled like L-O-E-B, even though I pronounce it differently. So Facebook is one avenue, and I've got some things at the Appalachian Center for Crafts. There's a few paintings there, and some over at Woodbury at the Cannon County Art Center. And I also have a website, jacklabe.com. And oftentimes when I teach classes, I post these on Facebook, too, in case anyone's interested in doing a workshop in watercolor or acrylics.
Yeah, and I highly recommend taking one of your classes.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming out today, Jack.
Oh, my pleasure.
Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we are chatting with Louis Colombarini of Cosmic Clay Studios. And Louis specializes in unique, one-of-a-kind, primitive fire decorative ceramics. So how long have you been doing this?
Over 40 years now. I got interested in ceramics in my senior year of college. And I had taken several other classes in the arts, metalwork, being jewelry, woodwork, painting, drawing, all those various different mediums. And I fell in love with clay. I just took to the pottery wheel like a duck to water. And that was at SUNY Geneseo in upstate New York that I first got interested in clay. Moved to South Florida and wanted to continue my education in clay, having no formal education, and really couldn't afford to do that. So at that time, I moved to Florida. I took a job with the Fort Lauderdale Fire Department, and I had lots of time off to go back and audit classes in ceramics and gained far more knowledge than I did in undergraduate school. It was non-degree seeking, but the instructor took us, a couple of us, under his wing and helped us quite a bit in gaining the knowledge we needed to pursue our love for clay.
Well, it's interesting because you have created your own style. You might not have done that if you would have taken the formal art classes that you wanted to take. You know, you seems like you kind of went about it a different route, and then now you have this style that's all your own. And so sometimes that struggle makes things happen in a different way.
You're absolutely right. It does make quite a bit of difference because the more classes you take and learn something, you have a tendency to start following the course you've been dealt, to speak, in classes. Mm-hmm. And Christine and I met at Florida Atlantic University in Boca Raton, Florida, in ceramics class, and we were both good enough, I felt, to go on and get our Master of Fine Arts in clay and possibly pursue a teaching career. However, we decided to hit the streets and do it our way and, grow and stay as creative as possible and true to our art.
I agree. I haven't taken one single art class. And I find that at first that used to kind of frustrate me, maybe I need to go to school and these people are doing it differently than me and they know more than me, or, and it would maybe hinder me. But I found my own way through learning how to mix my own colors, learning how to apply the paint that's my way, that is my signature, that's my essence. And now I'm really pleased with my work, and I'm glad that I didn't know it all or that I didn't learn from someone else, because I might have been influenced and I might have picked up something from them and not have been as true to myself. And so when I see your work, it's unlike anything I've ever seen before. And that comes from you. That comes from your wife. You guys are creating from that sacred space within. And so it's really reflected within your work. I love it. So how would you brand your style of art?
I would call it more decorative ceramics rather than functional. Some of the work can be used as vases, but being a low fire technique, they typically would have to have some type of a liner if someone would want to take a decorated vase and put fresh flowers in them. And we always make people aware of that fact. And to preserve our surfaces, the very last thing we've always done throughout the years, regardless of whatever particular style of work we were doing, was to fix the surfaces with a clear or satin acrylic finish to preserve that finish, much like some people do with chalk and that drawings, pencil drawings, and that type of thing.
And so do you do commission work?
We do commission work. It's difficult at best because typically in our work with clay, if we take on a commission, we have to do at least two or three of those same pieces because, as you know, you can lose a piece anywhere along the way for one reason or another in the initial firing or the primitive type firing, That way it gives us a chance to at least have one nice piece that our customer might like.
More of our conversation is coming up on the scene here on Light Rock 95.9. Welcome back to the scene. It's brought to you by the Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. This is where we discover and uncover artists and their art form from around the Upper Cumberland. This is your art. First Fridays is something started by Art Round Tennessee, and the next First Friday featuring local artists will be May the 1st at Cookeville Performing Arts Center, and that will be from 6 to 9 p.m. And I have one of the artists that are going to be there, Josh Barnwell. Hi, Josh.
Hi.
So tell me a little bit about your work of art. You kind of use things found in nature, and you're a naturalist, and you make the prettiest necklaces and some other things that I've seen, too, on your Instagram page. So kind of explain your art to us.
Well, when I think about my art, it's kind of reflective of the cycle of the seasons. In the fall, I work on hide tanning a lot. And through the winter, I like to do more inside things. So I keep like sewing projects and wood carving. And then in the spring and summer, I make bark baskets that I peel while the sap is running. So everything that I do kind of depends on the cycle of nature and
kind of what you can find during that season.
Yeah, what's available during those times.
So do you actually use some of the hides that you tan and the baskets that you make?
I do, yeah. I do a lot of sewing projects with the buckskin that I make, and I use them in displays at my booth, and I also I use the baskets to forage with and get out in the woods, and I just try to bring them around and share them with other people.
So what do people say when they see your works? Because, I mean, nature is beautiful in itself, too, but then you create even more beautiful things. Are they shocked at what you can make from nature?
Sometimes, yeah, that seems to be something that people say a lot is just, oh, wow, I've never seen such a thing, you know, and that's part of what I really enjoy about it is being able to sort of bring these natural elements together in a way that people haven't seen before that can kind of maybe help to spark a connection with them and get them outside.
Why did you choose to do the First Fridays?
It's kind of just part of my artistic journey, I guess. I've been, you know, working from home, and so this is just a great way for me to bring my art to the Upper Cumberland.
What made you get started in kind of foraging and finding things and making things out of nature?
Well, a lot of it was just, growing up out in nature, and, we didn't really have all the money to go run around and do other things, and so I sort of, both of my parents were, big into camping, and so looking through their old guidebooks and stuff when I was, 7 and 8 years old and reading about it just gave me this kind of thirst for more knowledge. And so growing up, just wandering in the woods, I spent a lot of time picking up sticks and rocks, and so I'm still doing it, just doing a little bit more with them.
And you're trying to make a living off of that. That's pretty cool.
That's right.
So what is your favorite thing to make?
Oh, gosh, that's hard to say. I really get inspired when I do when I make buckskin. It's just such a really visceral connection to the wild, and it's something that the process that I use is an all natural process. So I do a lot of elbow grease instead of chemicals that modern tanneries use. Yeah, that's the one that I feel probably the most connected and inspired about.
They can see your work at CPAC, which is May 1st. At Cookeville Performing Arts Center. That's what CPAC is. And you can join Josh Barnwell there.
Thanks for having me.
Helping guide you on the path to a new craft. It's your art on the scene.
Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we are chatting with Louis Colombarini of Cosmic Clay Studios. And Louis specializes in unique, one-of-a-kind, primitive fire decorative ceramics. Okay, well, so if someone wants to hire you to create a piece for them, what would be the step-by-step process involved in that?
What we would recommend would be to contact us. You can go on our website at cosmic-clay.com, and all our contact information would be on there. Contact us, and then it'd be a good idea to sit down together and decide exactly what it is the person would like, and for us to also decide whether it would be a comfort zone for us. If it's not something we just wouldn't feel good about doing, we'd certainly be honest with them and let them know. But if it was something we were interested in pursuing, just work out the details at that point with the customer.
Yeah, so they would, you know, do you have like a sketch? Do you draw things out, or is it more like a visual in your head?
Yeah, sometimes we will draw things out because customers want to get an idea of what something may look like. But typically, we often depart from those sketches because as you're in the creative process, you're just into discovering that maybe it would look better this way rather than how you sketched it to begin with.
Oh, yeah, I know that. I know that feeling. And it's almost sometimes like you want to maybe contact them and be like, hey, it's completely taking a different route. But I like to tell my clients, you know, that, you know, when I get into the flow of things, that it's really important that I let that energy flow out of me to create the best possible piece. So that's always going to be a possibility that it might take on a different shape and a different form, and typically they're okay with that.
Absolutely. If they're savvy with the creative process, they'll often mention that from the get-go to just let it flow, let it happen. You know what I'm looking for in general, and I want to leave it up to you to come up with what you feel comfortable with.
Yeah, and do you give yourself a time limit? Because, you know, do they request a time limit, or are you specific and say, look, this is for me, the inspiration happens when it happens.
Absolutely. If you can avoid a time limit, that's great. You know, if they're in a big hurry to begin with, I probably wouldn't even take the commission mm-hmm. to start with, because it's already putting a certain amount of pressure on you to create something that's maybe outside your realm and still be clay. It's typically far more stressful to do commissions than to do something you're creating at the moment from your heart and soul.
And so where can we find your work? Because that's most important.
You can find our work by contacting us online at, again, cosmic-clay.com, or reach us by cell 931-314-9059. I noticed that several galleries are starting to open up in the Cookeville area, and I have been approached by Ron Baker. I even forget what the name of his gallery was. He's a photographer, and he's over on Spring Street, having just opened up, and he expressed an interest in us displaying and having some work on display in the gallery there. And I just recently spoke with him, and we'll be putting some work in that gallery in mid-February or so.
How exciting. Yeah. So now we can just drive right by and stop in and see your work.
Absolutely.
After hearing about it. And it's exquisite, I have to say. So thank you so much, Lewis, for coming on our show today. It was a pleasure to talk with you. And
all mine.
That's it.
Thank you for having us.
You're
I enjoyed
welcome.
It.
Great. Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we are chatting with Raven Williamson of Raw Art. Hi, Raven. Welcome to the show.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. Thank you so much for coming. So I found you on Instagram, and you're a local artist here in Cookeville, and I was super intrigued by your work. So it looks like you do a little bit of digital.
Yes.
You do some paintings.
Everything.
You do some drawings, and it's very, the first thought that came to my mind is like crazy.
Mm-hmm. It's different.
Yeah.
When people say that, they're like, I've never seen the colors used like this before, and I like to use a lot of bright contrast. So
you do, and I do too. Mm-hmm. I'm most impressed with the, when I say crazy, it's, I don't even know how to like pick a different word than that, because the subject matter is so like, wow.
Yes. And that's the effect I try to have. I try to make people think about what they're seeing. Like, I want you to feel something from looking at it. So
we're going to feel a lot when you look at your work. I'm like looking at it and I'm like, where did this come from? It's like magical. So, well, how old were you when you started?
I would say about 5 or younger. Like, I don't know if you know Lisa Frank, the coloring books and stuff.
Yeah.
I used to love those. So I got all into that. And in 5th grade, I had a friend that was really good at art, and it kind of made me want to learn more about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just ended up taking a lot of classes and learning watercolor and acrylics, and I just loved it.
So were you, as a child, were you always just like doodling on the back of your work?
And yeah. Just kind of, my mom would always keep them too and be like, one day you're going to be a great artist. So
yeah.
She kind of like amped it up for me.
Good for you.
Yeah.
She believed in you.
Yeah, she did.
And I think that's really important when you're a child, is to have parents that are like pushing you in that direction.
And if it's your dream, like, and they support it, that's all you really need, because it'll take you so far.
It will, absolutely. Mm-hmm. They're mirroring back to you, you know, like you show them a picture and they're like, wow, that's incredible. And you're like, I know.
Yeah.
And so it builds you up inside.
It does. And she'd always say, draw this for me. Or, you know, I'd ask her, what should I draw today? So she was always really supportive of it.
I found you on Instagram. So what's your Instagram?
My Instagram is Raw Art with 2 T's.
Okay. And then do you do Facebook?
Yes, I do. I'm just Raven Ariana Williamson on Facebook.
And you post your art on there?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have a little like side raw art page that's like connected to that. So.
And have you gotten a website up yet?
I did have a website. It's a subscription.
Yeah.
So it's still going, but by February, I may not renew it, just because I'm kind of looking through options of different websites at the moment.
Well, how do you prefer for people to contact you?
Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm very active on that. And Facebook. I check that too. Just more active on Instagram.
Wonderful. Well, I appreciate you coming out today. It was really nice chatting
with
you.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks.